Good to be with you this morning, and how encouraging to hear that report in terms of what God has been doing through your local fellowship this past year as Great Commission Christians. That encourages me tremendously, and I would like to thank you. My wife would also like to thank you. In fact, on behalf of the 827 Alliance missionaries who, due to previous commitments, could not be here this morning, thank you. Thank you for your faithful partnership, prayers, and support, without which it would be exceedingly difficult, if not impossible, to do what God has called us to do. Looking forward to sharing with you this week, even this evening, again, a little bit more of our personal ministry, what the Lord has been doing in Spain, and start off this morning by setting something of a big picture as we look at how God is opening doors in our part of the world. Let's pray together again. Father, I do thank you for the fact that when you open a door, there's nobody that can close it. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to open our eyes to what you're doing in our neighborhood and around the world as you open doors and invite us to walk through them with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. You may recall that early in his ministry, Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth. He stood up and he read the following text from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Then Jesus sat down and said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This same passage needs to be fulfilled in my life and ministry in Spain and in your lives and ministries here in North Carolina. Because God doesn't open doors just to prove he can do it. God opens doors so that we will walk through them. And for those of us who are fully devoted followers of Jesus, this passage in Isaiah is a call to follow in his steps, because God calls all of us to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release the prisoners from darkness. And this is exactly what God is doing in the country of Spain, where my wife Mary and I have been serving for these past 17 years. Now recently, God has opened up new opportunities for us in amazing ways. And doors that once were slammed shut have been thrown wide open. God is doing some incredible things in the country of Spain. But first, let me paint the backdrop for you. And you can slide forward some. You're a little bit behind there. There you go. Go ahead to the next slide, actually. According to one church historian, the story of the gospel in Spain could be described like a flame in the wind. A small candle, a faltering, flickering light that seems always in danger of being extinguished, but somehow manages to burn on, bringing light to the surrounding darkness. And believe me when I say that the spiritual darkness in Spain is very real. Beautiful country, wonderful history, interesting culture, absolutely. But spiritually lost and spiritually dark. Barely 1% of the population can be identified as committed evangelical Christians. Now, Spain was a military dictatorship until 1975. Democracy, religious liberty only came to Spain in 1978. There was hope that when that happened, there would be more of a turning to Christ, when there was opportunity to preach the gospel freely, but sadly, that hasn't happened. Since 1978, materialism, secularism, agnosticism, postmodernism, all the other isms you can think of have seemingly come in and spiritually kind of deadened the overall environment. Disillusion with traditional religion, Spaniards have not just left the church, they've turned their backs on God. And like Western Europe as a whole, of which Spain is a proud part, the spiritual landscape is bleak and hearts are cold. Now, you may have heard of Europe described as the old continent or the old world, right? You may also, over the years, have heard Africa described as the dark continent. The dark continent. But sadly, there's much more spiritual light in Africa today, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where the church is growing by leaps and bounds. Meanwhile, Europe, which sent out so many missionaries years ago, is rapidly becoming what I call the new dark continent. In Western Europe, barely 2.5% of the population can be identified as evangelical believers. It's even worse in Spain, where only 1% of the population are committed followers of Jesus Christ. Even darker in our corner of Europe. And yet, in the midst of this spiritual darkness, that flickering candle, the light of the gospel, refuses to be extinguished. In fact, that small flame burns even brighter in Spain today than ever before in the history of Christianity. New churches are being planted faster than ever recorded in Spain. And what's true of our small family of churches, the Alliance, is true of the evangelical community as a whole. The last time when I was here in 2003, we barely had 5 evangelical churches as a part of our Alliance family in Spain. Today there are 16 congregations worshiping the Lord, plus a couple of new church plants that are being started. See, well, what has happened? Actually, it's kind of the way Isaiah put it. He said, God, the Lord, has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. While the majority of Spaniards, yes, the Spaniards, the majority population, are still rather unresponsive and closed to the gospel, God is opening new doors for us to preach Christ to those kind of at the margins of society, especially among the poorer people, especially the immigrants who have come into Spain. You see, when we arrived in Spain in 1993, it was still one of the most homogeneous countries in the Western world. Less than 1% of the population were non-Spaniards. And yet today, it's nearly 13% of the population. In the past 10 years, some 5 million people have poured into Spain, largely from Latin America. That's true that some were already believers, but many are simply immigrants very open to the gospel. And in a few short years, they have swelled the numbers of all evangelical churches in the country. And in our Alliance family of churches, we have, as well as the Latin Americans, a Chinese church. And more recently, we've started an outreach to the more than 1 million Muslims from North Africa who live in Spain. So we're not really talking about revival, that's for sure, but we are describing here encouraging progress. God is using this unexpected influx of immigrants to fan the flame of the gospel, to push back the darkness, and open wide for us new doors of ministry opportunity, totally unexpected doors of ministry. I like to remind our congregations there in Spain of how the Alliance started about 130 years ago. It was largely through the evangelistic passion of a pastor in New York City preaching to immigrants who were arriving from Europe that desperately needed Christ. That's really how the Alliance started. And here, 130 years later, God is opening similar doors for us in Spain. Let me share with you a few specific illustrations of God at work in Spain. To me, one of the more fascinating stories is the Community of Prayer Church in Madrid. This church didn't even exist as recently as 2001. But today, it's one of our largest churches in Spain, with more than 200 in attendance and over 300 people meeting in 30 home cell groups. And it all began with the vision of one Ecuadorian pastor, Pedro Guaicha, and his family. Getting a little bit ahead of me there on the slides, but that's all right. Can't preach quite that fast. I'm from the South, and we just don't talk that fast in the South. For nearly 20 years, Pedro had been an Alliance pastor down in Ecuador. South America, that's right. He was a pastor in Ecuador. And then in the late 1990s, the economy of Ecuador fell apart and literally thousands, tens of thousands of people began to leave the country. They were desperate to find work, a new opportunity to put food on the table. And many of them ended up in Europe, particularly in Spain and in Italy. Nearly 30 members from Pedro's small church there in Ecuador, his church alone, ended up in Spain. Well, to make a long story short, God led Pedro and his wife, Bertha, along with their three teenage children, to sell most of their belongings and move to Madrid as missionaries from the Alliance in Ecuador. Now remember, these folks are not missionaries from North America, they're from South America. And yet, their church sent them to Spain to help us. And I remember the first service in October of 2001 when we'd helped them rent a small kind of storefront facility, and 35 people were there for that first service. So Pedro literally rolled up his sleeves, began to work, and he's a really tremendous personal evangelist. And day and night, it seemed, he was sharing the gospel with people, both immigrants and Spaniards. And in spite of financial challenges and really a lack of, or shall we say, limited support from their sending church back in Latin America, they persevered. In fact, I was down in Ecuador just a little over a month ago for a missions congress. And one of the things that they did with the national church there was celebrate 10 years of faithfulness in the ministry of Pedro and Bertha in Spain. God has blessed their ministry, and they've led literally hundreds of people to Christ. But in preaching good news to the poor, we're not just seeing these immigrants saved. What's really exciting and very interesting is how God is in turn using them to reach Spaniards with the gospel in ways we could have never imagined, and in places that would be very difficult for us as traditional missionaries to even go. Just a few examples from this one church. Take, for example, Jadira. She's an Ecuadorian lady, and like many of the ladies there, she worked as a maid for this Spanish lady in her home, going every day, help clean the house and whatnot. And this lady for whom she worked was diagnosed as being sick. They took her to the doctor, found out, wow, you have an advanced case of cancer. By the time they discovered it, it had metastasized and she was in bad shape. Well, Jadira, more than just a maid, was a believer, and she was moved with compassion for this lady. She asked her, "May I pray for you?" Taken somewhat aback, the lady said, "Sure." Jadira later explained how, as she put her hands on the Spanish lady for whom she worked and prayed for her, she sensed that God was doing something really special. And was he ever? Because the very next week, this lady went back to the doctor and he said, "I really can't explain this. I know you had cancer, but you don't anymore." Now that's an open door to share the gospel, folks. Or take not only Gladys, but also, I mean Jadira, but Gladys. She's another lady from that same church, and she also works in a Spanish home. Her story is a little different because as a maid, she was cleaning the house, but she was concerned not for the lady of the house, her boss, but for her husband, because apparently he was a tremendous chain smoker. And she asked the lady of the house one day if it would be all right for her to pray for her husband, that God would heal him of his smoking habit. She laughed at her. "You got to be kidding. He smoked all his life. God himself couldn't change that." Now, that's not a good thing to say. That's dangerous, in fact, because Gladys started to pray. And to the amazement of this lady, the very next week, her husband came up to her and said, "Ugh, cigarettes. I hate cigarettes. I've decided to quit smoking." Another open door to share the difference Christ makes in your life. Or take Aichel, yet another lady from this same church. She also worked in a Spanish home, but as a live-in caretaker for an elderly Spanish lady who was quite sick, actually. She needed someone to live with her. She was beginning to have some senile dementia. She was suffering from a number of problems, so much so that they had even begun to give her morphine, along with seven other medications. Well, again, Aichel was not just a maid and a caretaker. She was a believer, and she was moved with compassion for this lady, began to pray for her, and this lady couldn't sleep very well because of all of her pain and problems. And so Aichel figured, well, maybe it's a good way to start. In the name of Jesus, sleep. So she began to pray for this lady. She would sleep. And so guess what? She started sleeping much better. Began to gradually improve. They were able to wean her off of six of those eight medications, so much so that her mind actually began to clear up. And Aichel was able to clearly explain the gospel to her and lead her to faith in Christ. Now, we could never do that as a traditional missionary. And yet, God is literally using these people to make a difference in his kingdom in Spain. "The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor," Isaiah said. And yet in Spain, these poor are not only coming to Christ, they are also sharing Christ with others. Now, Isaiah further declared, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." To bind up the brokenhearted. Most Spaniards come to faith in Christ at the end of their rope. I've heard testimony after testimony of how they only really came to Christ because of a crisis in their health or finances or their family. Really serious problems. And this was the case for Toya. This is her story. Toya was 83 years old, Spanish lady, never married, had no immediate family other than some nieces and nephews that never visited her. And she was mentally alert and in reasonably good health, but desperately lonely and quite depressed. And that's when she met Bertha. Now, Bertha, you recall, is the wife of our Ecuadorian pastor there in Madrid, and she has worked tirelessly to help any number of immigrants find jobs, especially the ladies in her church. But one day she got a phone call from a lady who already had a job and said, "Look, I need a replacement. I need to take off 10 days. I'm caring for this lady. Can you find someone?" Bertha couldn't find anyone. So she decided, "Well, I'll take it for 10 days. So that's how Bertha met Toya, assuming this job for 10 days to go in each morning and kind of help around the house and take care of her. Another lady came in the afternoons, but her responsibility was for the morning. So that first morning, she arrived at Toya's apartment. They introduced themselves, and then Toya explained where the kitchen was and asked her to go ahead and start fixing lunch, which Bertha proceeded to do. But she'd only been in the kitchen a few minutes when she was startled by this scream that came from Toya's bedroom. "I want to die! I want to die!" And alarmed at a dead run, Bertha hurried from the kitchen into the bedroom and said, "Who in this house is it that wants to die?" Toya said, Me. "I want to die. I don't know what to live for. No one cares for me. I'm not worth anything, and I'm tired of living." Well, Bertha took her hands, literally looked her in the eyes and said, "Toya, please don't say that. I'm here. I care for you. And look around. You've got pretty good health. You've got a beautiful apartment. I know a lot of people your age can't even walk. Don't say that. But more importantly, I know someone who loves you very much." But Toya said, "Who could that be? Who could love this old good-for-nothing woman?" That's an open door. And Bertha replied, "God. God loves you very much." But Toya responded, "That's impossible. God couldn't love me. I'm a bad person." Bertha walked through that open door too and began to explain to Toya the amazing love of God and how He sent His Son to die for us so that we might know Him and have the life which only He can give. But to Bertha's great surprise, after explaining how to receive Christ, Toya responded, "All of my life, I've waited for someone to explain this truth to me, and no one ever told me a word. What do I have to do to receive Christ into my life?" Bertha walked through that wide open door and explained again in simple terms the gospel. And so quickly that she barely had time to explain it, Toya, almost shouting, said, "God, please come into my life. God, please come into my life." Bertha took a few more minutes to pray with her and confirm that Toya had indeed understood her commitment. But then Toya said the following, and Bertha told me when she related this story, she said, "Pastor Raymond, I'll never forget what Toya said next. She said, 'Why don't others like you come to tell us about Jesus? I've always wanted to be ready, but I just didn't know how.'" That was day one. Well, during the following 9 days, the schedule changed, because first thing up front and center, when Bertha arrived, she would spend some time reading the Bible and explaining basic concepts of Christianity. Intense 9-day follow-up for Toya. And it was really interesting. Bertha said, "I'd be reading along," and Toya would say, wait, stop, I need to digest that." So she'd think, "Okay, now you can read some more." So after 9 days, she had really been growing in her excitement and her new faith in Christ. But day 10 arrived all too quickly, and it was time for Bertha to return to her normal schedule of responsibilities and activities. And Toya said, "No, please don't leave. I'll pay you anything you want, but please don't leave." But Toya, I've got to leave. I've got to go back to my family. I'll keep in touch. I promise, though. I'll call you. I'll come and visit you. And so that was Friday. Monday, Bertha called, spoke to Toya, greeted her, asked how she was doing. Then on Tuesday morning, Bertha received a phone call from the lady who cared for Toya in the afternoons. Tuesday. That very morning, they had found Toya sitting in her chair where she had quietly passed away. Only days after her broken heart had found healing, Toya went to be with Jesus. To preach good news to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted. Isaiah also declared, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives." Freedom for the captives. Now, the reality is many Spaniards are trapped, imprisoned by the chains of broken relationships and dysfunctional families, and they desperately need to know the freedom that only can be found in knowing Jesus Christ. In the city of Granada in southern Spain, we have a church, a Spanish church, that's flourishing. It was started about 10 years ago by our missionary workers there, Joel and Nancy Martinez, and this growing congregation of a majority of Spaniards have about 100 in attendance each week. And through counseling and family-oriented ministries, Joel and Nancy have led dozens of people to faith in Christ. People like Felina. Now, at age 48, Felina, by her own words, said she felt trapped. Trapped in her past, and she was desperate for something better in her life. Things were not going well in her marriage. And at that time, she received an invitation from her sister to visit a small group. Her sister was already attending our New Alliance work there in Granada. And they had weekly home meetings. And her sister invited Felina to attend. Well, curious, she went. In that first week, as she later described her experience, Felina said, "Wow, I was sitting there, and my heart was pounding, and my mind was racing, and I was thinking, could this be what I'm looking for? Are these people for real?" And so attracted by what she experienced that evening as she watched them share and pray for each other and express care for each other, she went back the next week. And remarkably, just that second week, Felina, at the end of that meeting, prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. Wonderfully converted, her life was transformed. As a result, her husband began to open up. He went to our workers there in Granada for counseling. He came to know the Lord. Then their son came to know the Lord. And now Felina is the one who coordinates all the small group meetings in that church. Freedom in Christ. Another fascinating story of captives set free is found in our Chinese church. Now, you heard that right. We have a Chinese church in Madrid, of all places. It's about 8 years old, and it has seen scores of conversions. In fact, this congregation is made up of basically new believers who formerly were Buddhist or atheists from mainland China and held captive all their lives by a religion, in the case of the Buddhist, which really offers no hope. Who would have guessed that in Madrid, Spain, of all places, these Chinese immigrants would find freedom in Christ? But that's how God has been at work in many of them, and for a growing number, this is precisely what is happening. It happened with Ping. Ping is a case in point. She grew up in Shanghai in a devout Buddhist family. And as a result, she learned to follow and to worship Buddha. She made, in fact, regular pilgrimages to Buddhist shrines. She even described how once she climbed up a mountain on her knees to visit one of the holiest Buddhist shrines in all of China. But with all her devotion to Buddha, she admits that Buddha never brought her any peace. Then in 2001, Ping went to Spain with her son to join her husband, who was already there. But sadly, shortly after they arrived, their marriage began to have difficulties and then dissolved. And she felt even more trapped and isolated. And she didn't know what to do. Her devotion to Buddha did not seem to be helping her in those difficult circumstances. It was about this time that the store in which she was working, a little Chinese kind of dollar store, began to receive visits from a young man who came to talk to the other man who was the owner of this little store. And this was a new believer, and he was enthusiastically sharing his faith in Christ with the owner, so much so that the owner got tired of it and told him not to come back. But in the meantime, Ping had been an unintended bystander listening behind some of the shelves to all that was going on. And that's how first she, Ping, heard about Christianity. Well, about that time, she was beginning to doubt a lot of things, and she thought, wow, this is really interesting. What he's saying about Jesus. Buddha's not helping me any. Maybe I should start praying to Jesus. That's all she knew about Christianity. So one night she said, Jesus, if you're real, help me sleep. She admitted she hadn't slept well in years with all the worries and problems she had. And for the first night in years, she slept through the night. Wow, maybe I should pray some more to Jesus. So she began to pray more to Jesus. But she was also struggling because she had been taught that Buddha was her protector. And she was worried. She was very concerned about what might happen, what terrible things might happen to her if she left Buddha, who was, after all, her protector. But about that time, Ping, one night, had a dream. And she said, in the dream, both Jesus and Buddha appeared before me. Strangely, I could see Jesus' face very clearly, while the face of Buddha was obscured, whitewashed, as if a veil had been thrown over it to cover it. And when she woke up, she said, I personally concluded that it was obvious now, no doubt who was the real God, for the false God hid its face in the presence of true light. That was her own conclusion. And shortly thereafter, she met some folks from our Chinese Lights Church in Madrid and received Christ as her Savior. She has been wonderfully converted, and even though she still shares an apartment with a lady who is a follower of Buddha, and there's a picture of Buddha there in the kitchen. She said, every time I walk by the kitchen, I just said, I'm not following you anymore. You didn't help me for years. I'm following Jesus now. He is the one who gives me real peace. By the way, the young Chinese man who witnessed to Ping, although indirectly, he's also a member of our Chinese Alliance Church there in Madrid. His name is Manuel. Well, that's his Spanish name. He arrived in Madrid actually quite a number of years ago. He was only 12 at the time, so he learned Spanish quite well. He's actually translated for me a few times. And by all accounts, he had integrated quite well into the society. But that social ease could not hide his sense of uneasiness in his soul. And one afternoon, while sitting on a bench in downtown Madrid in a park there, someone on a short-term mission trip from our Chinese Alliance Church here in the U.S. ran into him. In fact, during that afternoon, on three separate occasions, Manuel bumped into him. And this man shared the gospel very clearly with him. And as Manuel said later, I was basically convinced that Jesus was really the only person who could give me what I needed. But I had a big test I wanted to throw at him first. You see, Manuel had been a chain smoker. He was a two-packer. And he had tried several times to quit smoking, but he couldn't. So he said, God, if you're real, help me to quit smoking. He said, from that moment on, he's never had a desire to touch a cigarette and hasn't puffed a single one. That's a miracle. Shortly after that, Manuel gave his heart to the Lord. And he is an enthusiastic follower of Jesus. In fact, he's really got a gift of gab. And once a month, he takes a team of people from the church down to the same park to tell them, well, to share with others there in that park. It's a kind of a gathering point for Chinese, to share the gospel of Christ so that others can find the freedom that he has found. To preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim freedom for the captives. But Isaiah also speaks of releasing prisoners from darkness. Releasing prisoners from darkness. And it's interesting that the word prisoners in this phrase can also be translated as blind. In fact, one translation puts it the opening of the eyes to those who are blind. Regardless of the translation, the spiritual picture is as much the same. Those who are trapped by spiritual blindness are very much imprisoned, and they desperately need to be set free from their darkness and to recover their sight. And as the flickering candle of the light of the gospel burns more brightly in Spain, we're seeing Spaniards as well, yes, even Spaniards, not just immigrants, released from the darkness into the marvelous light of freedom in Christ. And Vicente is one such example. Let me tell you the story of Vicente, a Spaniard. And his story is tied to our Life and Family congregation in Madrid. The Life and Family Alliance Church in Madrid is not quite 5 years old. It was started from scratch in the basement of a small restaurant by Alliance missionaries from Peru. Now, I talked to you about Pedro Guaicha, missionaries from Ecuador. These are Peruvians, not Americans, they're from South America, Peruvians sent by our Alliance churches in Lima, Peru. Just in the capital city of Lima, we've got over 60 Alliance churches. Some of them are quite strong, they have a real missions vision, and they sent a couple to Spain to help us there. And that's how the Life and Family Church began, and it continues to flourish. Just after 5 years now, it's a strong congregation of some 200 people. And about 4 years ago, a Peruvian immigrant named Tanya was given a printed invitation to attend the church. Now, Tanya had grown up in Lima, Peru. She'd actually made something of a commitment to the Lord there, but when she got to Spain, she wandered away from the Lord, had never been to church. She met Vicente, married him, and they literally hadn't been to church once during their entire marriage. But then one day, Tanya, as I said, received this invitation to attend our Life and Family Alliance Church. She recognized the name Christian Missionary Alliance from her days in Lima, and then she discovered that the pastor was Peruvian, so she went home excited, talked to Vicente, said, Vicente, I found this church, and the pastor is Peruvian. In fact, I even remember the name of this church from my days in Peru. I'd love to visit on Sunday. So as a nice husband and a good man, Vicente said, that's fine, honey. I'd be glad to take you to church on Sunday. Translation. I have no idea of accompanying you inside that building, but I will drop you off at the door. That was his plan. In fact, he was going to just drop her off at the door and find a cafe nearby where he could get a good cup of Spanish coffee, read the paper, and then come back and pick her up later. The problem was, in that area where the church was meeting then, there's nothing open on Sundays. It was kind of an industrial area. So after driving around the block several times, Vicente kind of resigned himself to having to go in. He was concerned, though, because he knew, as he'd been told, these evangelicals are a cult, so be careful. But he had his antennas up, and yet when he went in, he was really surprised. People were friendly. They welcomed him warmly. But what really surprised him was when the pastor began to teach from the Bible. He never heard the scriptures open that way before. And so the next Sunday, he was back. He told the pastor, I'm not a believer, I'm just checking this out. The third Sunday, guess what? He was still checking it out. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth, he kept coming back. For nearly a full year, soaked up this teaching from God's Word until one Sunday he stood up, walked forward and said, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. And Vicente was wonderfully, wonderfully converted. And 3 years later, he's still overflowing with joy in his new walk with Christ. In fact, Vicente and Tanya have become very active in the life of the church. And they're assuming more and more responsibility, especially with a couples ministry in the church. In fact, Vicente believes the Lord may even be calling him into the ministry. He wants to share with other Spaniards how they too can find release from spiritual darkness. In short, God is at work. God is at work in some amazing ways. Please continue to pray with us for the work of the Lord there in Spain. The Spirit of God is definitely on the move, and these new open doors are a huge encouragement to us. However, the need in Western Europe is staggering, and the challenge is enormous. Up to 99% of Spain's population is still imprisoned in spiritual darkness. If we think about it, the need here in North America is also great. In fact, when we come back every couple of years to the States, it seems to me like North America is becoming more and more European. And there's people all around us here in the Bible Belt that need the Lord as well. And I believe this call from Isaiah is a prophetic word for the church as a whole. The challenge for all of us as Great Commission Christians, wherever we are, is to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release the prisoners from darkness. And as we live the call together, may God do just that in each and every one of our lives. Lord, thank you for what you are doing, not just in Spain, but around the world. And help us, Lord, to not only identify and recognize those open doors that you set before us, but to walk through them in obedience to you. I pray in Jesus' name.